Hallelujah. You may or may not know, if you're newer here, you might not know that Dr. Fuchsia Pickett wrote a two-volume book called The Holy Spirit, Part 1 and 2. And she says in one of those books in her acknowledgement, she tells about the fact that I encouraged her not to die with this legacy in her, but to put it in print so that future generations could have it, because she talked about when her teacher moved in, being the Holy Spirit, when her teacher came, even though she had been an instructor in Methodist seminaries, yet when she received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, her teacher moved in. And she had revelation and understanding that the Holy Spirit had given to her. And the second volume is still available, and we're going to make it available to you today. You could get it at our bookstore on your way out for $5. And it's a hardback book. It's very lovely. I have a copy of the first volume, but it is now out of print. And so it is very valuable set of books that give understanding on the Holy Spirit. Last Sunday was Pentecost. And on that day, we always acknowledge the Holy Spirit, but I always believe that it's right as well for us to teach on the Holy Spirit and understand the Holy Spirit, and those who have not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit to do that. I think the day of Pentecost is exactly the right time to do that. But you can receive today if you didn't receive last week, because the Holy Spirit is always available to us. And since He came back from heaven, He's still here, and He's been here, and He's making His abode right here on this earth until Jesus returns, and He's got a job to do. I have shared with you many, many things about the Holy Spirit through the years. And twice I've taught you about the sevenfold Spirit of God, the seven spirits of God mentioned in the book of Revelation, that the seven spirits of God are around the throne. And Dr. Pickett in her book talks about the offices of the Holy Spirit and the seven spirits of God, like the Spirit of truth and the Spirit of love and the Spirit of holiness. There is so much we could teach on the Holy Spirit. Isn't it amazing that much of the church knows so little about Him? Still calling Him an it. Astounding. That's because they think He's a force or a power. They don't know He's a person. In Acts 19, 1 through 2, here is an astounding piece of scripture about some people who believed but didn't know anything about the Holy Spirit. And there are people like that today. Some people believe maybe they heard about the Holy Spirit, but they know nothing about it. They haven't been baptized in the Holy Spirit. Verse 19, while Apollos was in Corinth, Paul traveled through the interior regions until he reached Ephesus on the coast, where he found several believers. Did you receive the Holy Spirit when you believed? He asked them. No, they replied. We haven't even heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Well, that's a refreshing answer. That's better than we don't believe in that. Though you're a Christian, you don't believe in the baptism in the Holy Spirit. Really strange. Because it happened all through the book of Acts, and if I had time, I could take you through every situation. And every time they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, there was a manifestation, either speaking in tongues, or we can conclude probably was, and other manifestations of the Spirit. But at least these people didn't know, they hadn't heard that there is a Holy Spirit. Isn't that amazing? Now we know that when we are saved, born again, that the Holy Spirit actually has a part. It's the regenerating work of the Holy Spirit. And after Paul discovered that they had been baptized, into John's baptism, he baptized them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and laid his hands on them, and they received the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So it's not enough just to repent and believe or just to be baptized in water. We must receive the baptism in the Holy Spirit. There's so many people don't know this. They don't know who the Holy Spirit is. And if you don't know who He is, then you don't know what to expect Him to do. And if you don't really believe in Him, which I emphasized last week, you won't have Him doing that work in you, and you won't look to Him. Therefore, you won't draw on His power, and you'll do things in your own flesh. And they won't be powerful. And there are many things you will never be able to do without Him. Never. You can come to church without Him. Maybe. Some people can't. But I don't think. And some people don't even seem to be able to come with Him. But I thought about what Dr. Pickett said about not even knowing who the Holy Spirit is. About the little boy who didn't understand about the Holy Ghost. Didn't even know there was a Holy Ghost. And he thought when they were baptizing people that they were saying, I baptize you in the name of the Father and of the Son, and in the hole you go. Just about where some people stand today. The Holy Spirit is the third person, and He's the third person of the Trinity. And we must come to know this person. Because He's God. The Holy Spirit is God. Hello? Yeah. Someone's written a book called Forgotten God. I'll tell you why churches forget God. We really do often prefer to do things our way. And He has other ideas. I was thinking about the terrible thing that's happening in the schools with the massacres that we've been reading about. It's really unthinkable. Of course, it's demonic. And so people are trying to find out psychologically and mentally what the answer is. But I'm going to tell you what the answer is. I know what the answer is. The answer is to get prayer back in school and to get God and the study of the Word back in school. And if it offends somebody, they can go to another school. But what we need to do is to get God in the schools. Now, if we believed in prayer and if we believed in the Holy Spirit, and the reason that we allowed Him to get out is because we didn't really believe that it made that much difference. Now we are woefully finding out. If prayer were in the school, if the Holy Spirit was working in the school, He's the Spirit of love. And love doesn't kill people. And if He were working there, He would be a resisting force against the work of the enemy. Yes, He would do us much good. He would end our problems. I'm glad to hear Carol Ireland. Seemed like I hadn't seen her in a couple of weeks. So many, even Christians, don't know the Holy Spirit or even who He is. And because we don't know Him and have not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, then we don't have His life. If you don't know Him and let Him have His way in you, you don't have His life. Do you ever say, I just feel so dead? Well, I would expect that. Because if you don't let the Holy Spirit do His work, you will feel dead. Because your flesh is as dead as a hammer. Unless, of course, it can be titillated and entertained and all that sort of thing. So often, churches are being run without His direction, His power, or His life. The enemy deceives us that the church can be operated through the intellect, God help us, as if it was so great, and by simply organizing and working hard to please people. Do this, they'll like this, they'll come if you do that. What if they come and they're pleased and they never get saved? But all the work the Holy Spirit came to do will not be done without Him. All the work He came to do won't be done without Him. You cannot save souls. You cannot make people come alive to God. I don't care if you stand and lecture to him. Let's stand up now. Let's put our hands up now. Come on, louder than that now. Okay. They're responding to you, maybe. Praise and worship is to respond to God. I'd respond to God if you never told me to. Or in spite of the fact you told me not to. Because I have that life in me. The scripture tells us that he is, listen, he's the spirit of truth. He's the spirit of holiness. He's the spirit of life. He's the spirit of comfort. He's the spirit of love. He's the spirit of power and the spirit of prayer. He gives the life. He gives the light. He gives the power. And without his power giving these things, we go through the motions with no life, having a form of godliness, denying the power thereof. If you don't pray for his empowerment, if you don't wait on him, if you don't let him have his way, you are denying the power. You know, I was reminded reading a book by A.B. Simpson recently about that poem, The Rime of the Ancient Mariner. I always liked it, memorized portions of it. Water, water everywhere, and not a drop to drink. Water, water everywhere, and all the boards did shrink. Did you know it? Did you have to read it when you were in school? You didn't? The very deep did rot, O Christ, and slimy things did crawl with legs upon the slimy sea. I'm sorry you missed that. But it's about a man who kills an albatross. That's where the thing comes about being an albatross hanging around your neck. That's what happened to him. He was cursed because he wasn't supposed to kill the albatross. And so, as a result, everything ended in disaster for him. And Simpson says, it's about a death ship drifting toward destruction on the sea. He pictured this death ship manned by lifeless forms of men, dead but still there. A dead man at the helm, a dead man in the rigging, a dead man on the bridge, a dead man on the deck, drifting in silence across the deep. And he quoted another who said, and this is what some churches are because they don't allow the power of the Holy Ghost, a dead man in the pulpit, a dead man leading the choir, dead souls in the pews. While the voice of heaven sadly complains, thou hast a name that thou livest but art dead. We're so silly today that if we think everybody thinks we're a friendly church, we've pleased God. Well, they're friendly at the Lions Club, I think. And we think that people are excited about our church, then it must be a success. The fact of the matter is, all those things that we can do in our flesh can be enjoyable and dead. The church has to be built by the power of the Holy Spirit. I want to talk to you today about the spirit of love. Because so many people are not aware this is one of the seven titles of the Holy Spirit. Not just the spirit of truth and the spirit of life and the spirit of holiness, but the spirit of love. And some people have no idea how wonderfully loving the Holy Spirit is. How he loves them. How they can love him. The Father loves you. Jesus loves you. Do you know the Holy Spirit loves you? Romans 15:30 says, now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me. Many don't understand that he is a person. It's hard to love a force, you understand. He is a person. He has mind, will, and emotions. He can be grieved. He shows love. He can be vexed. Dr. Pickett taught about the moods of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes he's in a communion mood. In our prayer meeting, sometimes we worship God. Sometimes he's in a triumphant, victorious mood. And if we let the Holy Spirit lead us, then your prayer meetings are not dead. Some people view him as a force or an influence. But he wants to have communion with us. He wants to teach us and guide us. And he's the only one who can reveal Jesus to us. Now listen to me carefully. Jesus, I want to know you more. And you can get in the Word and read about Jesus and intellectually get understanding and knowledge and catalog it. But this will not facilitate the relationship with the Holy Spirit, and you won't know Him in revelation unless the Holy Spirit does it. This is why you must have and cultivate your relationship with the Holy Spirit. Aren't you glad you have Him? Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit? As we heard that song this morning about His presence. His presence is everything. Just as you have related to the Father and the Son, we must relate to the Holy Spirit. Because, by the way, He lives in us. John 14:15-17, I will pray the Father, and He will give you another Comforter, that He may abide with you forever. Jesus saying this, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth Him not, neither knoweth Him, but you know Him, for He dwells with you and shall be in you. Now the world is not ever going to see the Holy Spirit. And they're not ever going to understand the things of God. And they might think you're nice people. They might decide Christians do this. Some people are glad for Christians. Some people hate Christians. Depending on what their story is. I was just watching another program and just flipped over and saw, when I was out of town this week, a comedian talking to a Christian leader and blaspheming God. And he just thought God and Jesus were real jokes. Now I credit this Christian leader. He kept setting the record straight. I don't know why he would even bother to go on the program. People are not afraid to blaspheme God in our nation. We have an irreverent country. We're irreverent about everything. Fathers, for example. We don't honor fathers. Or our history. Or those who died so that we could have freedom. We're irreverent. We take things for granted. But Jesus sent the Holy Spirit to earth to be with us forever. In the Old Testament, He came at times and would empower someone. But on the day of Pentecost, He came to stay in God's people. I want to share with you this morning a picture of His love, because I want you to know Him as the Spirit of love. I want you to know that He's a loving Spirit. Some people have seen a few manifestations of the Holy Spirit that bothered them a little, even frightened them. And occasionally they weren't the Holy Spirit, but don't worry about that. If the church is pastored, leave that to the leadership. They can take care of things. They're out of line. We do that regularly here. We always have done that because we do want the Holy Spirit to be honored. And we don't want to quench the Spirit by counterfeiting His move. That offends Him. And so people have an idea that when the Holy Spirit comes, He slams people around and scares people and all of this kind of thing. Now, by the way, He's powerful. He can do anything He wants to do. And because He is so supernatural and otherworldly, sometimes it gives people pause. Like when He split that pulpit in two where Tommy Tenney was ministering. That wasn't real comfortable, though He is the Comforter. And you know, the pastor disappeared. And people had to people went back into the, they wanted, everybody was wanting to be baptized because, listen, the spirit of conviction. Now, you can say all day to people, now, you ought to do this and you ought to do that. Hey, I don't bother to tell people what they ought to do. I tell them what God's done for me and what I do sometimes. And if they want to catch on, they can. And if they want to resist the Holy Ghost, that's just one more way we offend the Holy Spirit. He's the only one that can convict. You can't convict. But when those people got convicted, they wanted to be baptized in water. And so Tommy would send them back to the pack because they carried the pastor out after that happened. He was useless. This helps a lot of churches for the pastor to get out of commission for a little while. Anytime the Holy Spirit wants to say, hey, let me take over here for a number of hours, days, and whatever, I'm going to say, oh, this is wonderful. This is great. And so people kept going back to his office, and they didn't come back. So finally, Tommy went back there, and there's this whole pile of people back there lying on their faces, had come back just to talk to the pastor about being baptized, and they couldn't get up again. And he does things like that. The Holy Spirit can inundate a people. You know, we've had meetings here during our River Revival where there was nobody standing but me. And it's just an amazing thing, the way he sometimes moves. Because of that, sometimes people don't realize how loving he is and how wonderful his love is. There are a number of emblems in the scripture used to reveal the nature and character of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know about the fire and the wind on the day of Pentecost, don't we? And Jesus referred, he said, out of your belly shall flow rivers of living water. This is another type, picture, emblem of the Holy Spirit. In the Old Testament, he's seen in Ezekiel as the wind that brought the dry bones together. Often he's mentioned as dew or water. There is one beautiful picture that could help us see and know his love. And I'm going to look for a minute. If you want to turn to your Bibles, you can. Our scriptures will also be up for us in Genesis 24. And it's the story about Abraham wanting to get a bride for his son. Now, I want you to listen carefully. Types and shadows in the Old Testament are not fantasy. They are God's way of giving pictures to things that are not yet revealed, so that the Holy Spirit can then reveal them to those that have revelation, and so that in the New Testament, when we have a full revelation, we can go back and see the beauty of his revelations through the types and shadows. For example, in the tabernacle, you have the picture of how to enter into worship. Where would we be today if we didn't know the stages of how they entered into worship by the picture of the tabernacle? We wouldn't be worshiping like we are today. So this is why we need types and shadows. And this is a very beautiful story in Genesis 24 where Abraham wants to get a bride for his son, Isaac. In this type, Abraham is God the Father. So he sends his servant, Eliezer, who's a type of the Holy Spirit, to get a bride for his son, Isaac, who's a type of Jesus. And they give us a beautiful picture of how the Father made plans, and he gives this picture all the way back in the book of Genesis, as to how the Father sent the Holy Spirit, who is doing this job even now, getting a bride for Jesus Christ. He's right now getting you and me to be the bride of Christ. So people who don't understand and appreciate the church, or don't even think they need to be a part of the church, have not understood that the Holy Spirit is here all about getting a bride for the Son. That's what the church is. And so, in Genesis 24, 1, and by the way, for the sake of time, I'm not reading all of the scriptures, but part of the verses so that we can get a picture of it. The scripture says, Abraham was now a very old man, and the Lord had blessed him in every way. One day Abraham said to his oldest son, his oldest servant, the man in charge of his household, take an oath by putting your hand under my thigh. Swear by the Lord and God of heaven and earth that you will not allow my son to marry one of those local Canaanite women. The Lord, the Holy Spirit, is here to guarantee that local Canaanite women won't marry Jesus. Worldly women, women that haven't really fallen in love with Him, given their hearts, and been born again by the Spirit of God. They are not a part of His bride, and they can't be. The Holy Spirit is not only sent to make the way and bring those who are, but also to keep there from being coming in those who would deceive who are not. And so, he tells him to take an oath. I believe the Holy Ghost. See, we don't understand how serious the Holy Spirit is about this. I've had times in the Holy Spirit, even when I was in the Methodist Church, where I felt the Holy Spirit as a heavy weight, like a mattress was laying on top of me. He's heavy. Holy Spirit is a heavy consideration. He means business. But now, He gives us joy. That's also a part of what He does. You know, a person with a healthy personality and a healthy mind, did you know that they're not serious all the time? Did you know that they're not silly all the time? Do you know that there's a balance about them and that they can be both kinds of people? Go instead to my homeland, to my relatives, and find a wife there for my son Isaac. Now, Eliezer, as he went along the way, and the scripture talks about Eliezer praying, so the Holy Spirit's consulting with the Father. Just like Jesus, the Holy Spirit doesn't do anything except what the Father says for Him to do. And so he is told that when he finds the right one that would be a bride for his son, we'll water the camels and we'll do it with joy. So in verse 15, before he had finished praying, Eliezer, he saw a young woman named Rebecca coming out with her water jug on her shoulder. She was the daughter of Bethuel, and who was the son of Abraham's brother Nahor, and his wife Milcah. Rebecca was very beautiful and old enough to be married, but she was still a virgin. Hello? Jesus is not coming for His bride to be a people who are living in all kinds of idolatry, all kinds of mixture, who are actually not true to Him. But He's coming after the one that's virgin in their heart. Jesus is the only one that I want. She went down to the spring and filled her jug and came up again. Running over to her, the servant said, "Please give me a little drink of water from your jug." Now something happens when we're touched by the Holy Spirit. And we feel like that we are coming, I'm going to come and be prayed for and receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Then I can speak in tongues. And then maybe I can sometimes have a gift even. And maybe I can pray for people, they get healed, something like that. Yeah, let me do that. But they don't know, because it's not really apparent at that time that the person who is really ready to be filled up with the Holy Spirit and made into His bride is also willing for a lot more than she knows she is. Salvation is free. The rest of it will cost you something. "Yes, my Lord," she answered, "have a drink." And she quickly lowered her jug from her shoulder and gave him drink. Verse 19. When she had given him drink, she said, "I'll draw water for your camels too. until they have had enough to drink. So she quickly emptied her jug into the watering trough and ran back to the well to draw water for all his camels. Now, I preached a while back a message about camels, about these camels. And I talked about having to ride those camels. Now, she had to ride those camels going back. And a person that doesn't have, they tell us that it takes 40 gallons to satisfy the thirst of a camel. And a person who doesn't have a heart to labor and to pour out in the heat of the day and to do the things that are uncomfortable and unusual and sometimes not even asked for, that is the mark of the one that he's going to call to really be his bride. And a person who has that capacity is that same person that's going to be willing to get on those camels and ride back with him. I love to hear Dr. Pickett tell about riding the camels. She did when she was in the Middle East. And she tried to get up on the hump instead of between the humps. I think some of us are boarding the camel the wrong way. And I think that we don't really understand that there is a way to ride a camel. And there's a right way to ride a camel. And it's the faith way. And it's the way that understands that there's someone leading the camels and you've agreed to go. There's this thing Rebecca said, I will go. Now, once you said you wanted to go, where he leads me, I will follow. What he feeds me, I will swallow. I've been tested on that a few times. As they said to me in Ukraine, oh, Sue, eat one of these, what was that thing called? You know that slimy thing, hon? It's like a little pot sticker thing. I think they have those up north somewhere. Dumpling, thank you. And they put mystery meat in them. And my interpreter is, you know, giving me instructions. Like one time she said, don't give an invitation. Don't give an invitation. But I did. So this time she's saying, eat one, Sue. Just eat one. They want to see you eat one. I said, I don't want to eat anything that swallows before I do. Sometimes we get a lot more on our plates than we thought we were going to. And yet those camels are taking us the way he is leading us. And by the way, we are riding on the camels. You're not under them. You're not hanging on to a leg or strapped onto their stomach. And I just want to say to you, as long as you are riding on top of your troubles, trouble is a servant that takes you where God wants you to go. Get up on that camel and ride. And the scripture says that Eliezer, when he got there, he pulled out several things to give her. Gold bracelets and silver. Of course, silver is redemption. And various gifts. Now, here's the beautiful thing. The Father didn't send the Holy Spirit and go through all of this. The Holy Spirit didn't sign up to come on this trip without coming bringing gifts. Because in the Eastern countries, you always bring gifts. And when people come to visit me from Eastern countries, I have several gifts that they always come bringing gifts. In America, we just come and plop down and hope you give us something good to eat, and then we go home. But it is very ordinary in other countries. It's a very important part of the protocol. If you're going to come to my house, bring a house gift. Bring a gift. And so because he was coming to get her and to take her home, then he was bringing gifts. Now, the Holy Spirit doesn't ask you to go with him without first giving you the gifts. And he's got the gifts of the Spirit. And I just mentioned last week about the fivefold ministry gifts, the people gifts. And then there's the gifts of the Spirit, the nine gifts of the Spirit. All of these are given so that the church can do what she needs to do. I just don't like to hear people preach it. It's so hard. The journey is so hard. The sacrifices are so great. By the way, now, sometimes it is hard. And I've made a few sacrifices. And sometimes I haven't even understood why I've been asked to make sacrifices like I'm making right now. But those things have to be done. And it is simply a part, but he doesn't ask you to do it without the empowerment, without the revelation, without what the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit brings the gifts with him for the bride. This might tell you why the gifts are not allowed in some situations. The people really haven't given themselves to be his bride. They just somehow want to go to heaven. Only God can judge and evaluate those things. I'm simply saying he's after a bride that'll receive his gifts and love him for it. And so in verse 57, well, they said, we'll call Rebecca. By the way, the family said, let's let Rebecca stay with us at least 10 more days. We'll call Rebecca and ask her what she thinks. So they called Rebecca, are you willing to go with this man? They asked her, and she replied, yes. I will go. Yes, I will go. You see, this is really a love story. And I remember hearing once Roland Baker preach on how serving Jesus is a romance. You know, if you don't have romance in your relationship with Jesus, it's very shallow. Oh, bless God, he's a man upstairs. No. Well, get him as far away from you as you possibly can. Take him upstairs, wherever that is. It's at the other end of Jacob's ladder, and that's pretty long. Isn't it wonderful that he gives gifts, and all he wants you to do is say, yes, I will go. I think that there's one more realm that we need to come into in order for our realm, for our walk rather, to be both enjoyable and fruitful, and to meet our own need while other needs are being met, while we meet the needs of others. Romans 5:5 says, hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. How does the love of God come to you? By the Holy Ghost, who's given to you. The Holy Spirit living inside of you is the one who continually sheds the love of God abroad in your heart. Now, I want to tell you something. If you will continually commune with the Holy Spirit, then you don't have to be afraid that love's going to run off somewhere. As you commune with him, he just keeps putting that love in your heart. Till one day you'll wake up and realize, you know, I didn't used to love people like that. I didn't used to love that kind of people. I didn't used to feel like weeping over the plight that some people have. It really is amazing how I feel different now. I care about people in other countries that I've never even seen and don't even know what the name of the country is. I care about the world and people that are going to hell. I found that I care in a way I didn't and couldn't and sometimes wouldn't. But the Holy Ghost is the Spirit of love. And if we want love, then we want to commune with him in our hearts. We're not capable of loving, as 1 Corinthians 13 teaches us. I mean, it says, 1 Corinthians 13 says, doesn't even take notice of a wrong against itself. Recently, I thought that I was not treated right in a situation. And I was amazed at my own stupid little emotions. I think I outlasted them. Because I never did what I first felt to do. And I never said what I first felt to say. I think after a while, the Holy Spirit in me ate them up or something. And now they're not there anymore. I'm going to tell you something. Not only does He change your feelings and emotions, He changes your want-tos about them. Get it? Since you're amen, I'm going to talk to you just a minute about our emotions. Have you ever heard people talk and say, I'm going to give Him peace of my mind. You blame me? And the other person saying, no, I don't blame you. And I think, two people that hate people talking to each other. And anyway, most people can't spare a piece of their mind. You know, I shared with you this happened, I'm thinking maybe 3 years ago, that John and I committed ourselves to the law of love. Kenneth Hagin taught us this, I mean on tape, in a snowstorm out at the Sleep Inn, John and Missy and me. What a great blessing that snowstorm was. We didn't have any power, no heat, no lights. So we went out there and watched those CDs all the way through. By the time they were through, I realized I was not walking in the law of love. Because in the law of love, you decide one statement that He made. If any negative or hateful or hurtful thought even comes to my heart, I get right at it. I like that. In other words, don't let it rumble around in there. Get right at it. Oh, I feel this way. I've got to get right at it. And He said, I made up my mind that I would love everybody and I would love my enemies. And I would continue to love the people that did not show love to me. And I would not say anything unkind about anyone to another person. And so John and I made a covenant between ourselves to upgrade any conversation that we would have about people. And you know, I find that really and truly, if we try to major on the things that we like and appreciate about that person, that's one of the things I told the man, you know, at the beach that asked me how to be married 55 years. I told him, those things that you really like and appreciate about your wife, magnify them in your thoughts. And appreciate them and be thankful for them. And I think that if we do that with people in general, the things that we like about them, the things we appreciate, I don't think you have to look around too much to find somebody gets on your nerves a little bit. But I don't think that's a big deal. Just don't talk about them. Just don't act hateful to them. Just don't ignore them. I mean, treat them like they're humans. That's what Jesus died for. Now, we can't do this in our own flesh. So don't anybody start feeling sad about now. My flesh and yours are just alike. Isaiah 40 said, all flesh is grass. Here today, gone tomorrow, gets brown quick, springs up when the rain comes, big deal. Flesh is a big deal. You can't count on it, it's not worth anything. But you can get it under control. And you can let the Holy Ghost tell it what to do. I'd love to say, take that, devil. So the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost, which is given to us. We don't have to work for it. I'm trying hard to love Him. Well, stop it. And go to the Holy Ghost and start communing with Him. Hey, let your heart get tender. You know, even men, you can be tender-hearted. You can cry before God. How do people have come up with this wonderful love that they have for souls and for others? It's the Holy Spirit giving them the love of God. Don't beat yourself because you don't naturally feel this love. There are some people that are just naturally kind of sweet. Not a lot, but... And there's some people who discipline themselves to be sweet and come on with a lot of flattering verbiage. They don't fool anybody either. Don't you know that people know the difference whether you can look right in their eye and say, you know, I really care about you, than if they're just blowing off their usual palaver because they're used to covering up their insecurity and inadequacies with flattery. Well, there's no need to try to make yourself love, but here we not understand this about the Holy Spirit. He has emotions. And He can show us how to feel. And He can bring His feelings through us. I'm just about finished. You'd think I might have a whole lot to say about this, but I really don't. The Holy Spirit has emotions. And that means if you have a relationship with Him, you're going to feel His emotions. You know, the Scripture says that He convicts of sin. That's not just unbelievers. How many of you have ever sinned since you got saved? That's the best response I've had on anything in quite a while. Sometimes I've said something or done something, and the Holy Spirit said, shouldn't have done that. Shouldn't have said it that way. And He won't leave me alone until I fix it. I say this respectfully, He's a nag. He won't let you go. That's because He's talking to you. You can be so glad the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Because He has emotions and He feels love. And He starts shedding that love abroad in your heart and you start feeling it. It's a wonderful thing to feel the love of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes I've had impatient or people who don't really understand what it's like to be like some other people are. I don't know why they do that. And sometimes I have said, you know, if the Holy Spirit weren't working in us all the time, we might do that. I mean, how many of you ever got mad? How many of you ever did something like throw something across the room or whatever? That's the real you. It's the Holy Spirit that makes you somebody that people really like to know. Let me close with this. As we have this relationship with the Holy Spirit, actually there's probably a dozen things that the Scripture says that we can do concerning the Holy Spirit as we relate to Him. But one of the main things is we can grieve Him. Now, there's scriptures for all this. I'm not taking your time to say them. We can grieve the Holy Spirit. Don't you sometimes see things that just grieve you? I'm grieved about some of the things I see in our culture. But I'm not a member of the Ain't It Awful Club. I'm praying for that. I'm believing for the light of God to shine on that. I'm believing, as Andre said, I'm going to change the atmosphere wherever I am in whatever situation. I was joking with my flight attendant on my way back recently. And she was just a person that wanted to have some fun, got bored with her job. I could tell she played with people for fun. So she comes to where I am and she says, oh, well, I hadn't even seen you before. You're not real unusual, are you? And I said, no, other than having two heads, I'm just about like anybody else. And so when she found out that she could play with me and joke with me, she did that on the whole trip. And she just so appreciated having a little bit of fun. Yeah, I don't know her. I don't remember what her name was, although she told me. But during that period of time, I saw things that I could do and that she could do that lifted us both up. She said, I had a good time with you on this trip. Now, why don't we let people have a good time instead of sitting down all humped up? Well, I'm be glad when this is over. How many of you ever read that the Israelites didn't go into the promised land because of complaining? And I try regularly to say, when I'm thinking about how things are not so good, I try to say, but I am thankful that so and so and so and so. You know, that kind of thing. We can grieve him. We can resist him. Scripture says, why do you always resist the Holy Spirit? You can resist the Holy Spirit. He's trying to get you to do something, to say something, to make a change, maybe to repent, to go someplace, whatever it is he wants you to do. And please don't joke about how you didn't do what the Holy Spirit said to do. If you tell it, shed a tear. He's God living in us. We can vex him, the Scripture says. I mean, to vex in the vernacular is really get on somebody's last nerve. Can you imagine? Would you want the Holy Spirit to say, man, this person gets on my nerves? You could start having a picture of yourself. In fact, I want everybody to do this right now. Say, through the Holy Ghost, I'm a loving person. Through the Holy Ghost, I'm a loving person. I know some of you are not loving without the work of the Holy Spirit. We need him. That's what he's here for. And the Scripture says, you can quench him. When the Holy Spirit moves, like I remember Kilpatrick saying, I saw an opening when he was here ministering. I saw an opening about the size of a matchbox. And I started to open myself up and step into that opening. Come on. When the Holy Spirit's moving among us, don't quench him. When he's moving in your prayer time, don't jump up and remember you had to add something to your grocery list. Put it in perspective. Don't quench the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you, if the Holy Spirit's moving among us, ain't nothing else happening that's comparable. Nothing. You can lie to the Holy Spirit. That's what Ananias and Sapphira does. And that's what hypocrites do. Or we can obey him. And we can be filled with him. And we can love him. And we can commune with him. And we can be led by him. And we can allow him to comfort us. And we can let him be our teacher. And Dr. Pickett would say, let your teacher move in. And let him teach you. Expect him to teach you anytime. It doesn't have to be in church. He can teach you driving down the highway how not to feel that way toward other drivers. And he will convict us of sin. And he will reveal Jesus to us. Now, my purpose the past two Sundays has been to magnify the Holy Spirit, to lift him up and to let you know he is God the Holy Spirit. And that the Father went to great extremes to give what is called in the Bible the gift of the Father. The Holy Spirit is the gift of the Father. And if you have the Holy Spirit, you have the most precious supernatural thing you can have right here on this earth. And if you will commune with him, and if you will have the expectation, he's going to teach you things and he's going to cause the word to live to you. He's going to reveal Jesus. He's going to show Jesus to you in ways you never understood. He's going to make Jesus feel like a friend to you instead of somebody that's out to get you, because He tells the truth, see. You need the Holy Spirit. You need Him. The Scripture says, you know, in the book of John, He says, if you love Me and obey My commandments, I and the Father and the Holy Spirit will come into you and make our abode. In one of the newer, I think it's the Message, says, we'll move right into the neighborhood. If we obey Him and keep His commandments and love Him. I love Him. Do you love Him today? Yeah. If we love Him, He moves right in with us. Now the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit are living in you. And if you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, then you are full. You have been filled with the Holy Spirit. And last Sunday, some people realized that they needed a fresh infilling, which you'll find all through the book of Acts. Because we're filled with the Holy Spirit, but we leak. And that's the truth. Leaking mainly means you're not continuing in communion. And so you don't have His awareness and you don't quite have that connection. That's really what it means. And He in His mercy just comes and says, I'm going to fill you again. So I want to ask you to stand. I want to ask Mike to come. Could we have the worship team come? And I want to believe God for the whole church to have a fresh infilling of His Holy Spirit. And anybody in this church, anybody here that has not received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues, at any time this morning or any other time, you can ask for someone to pray for you to be baptized in the Holy Spirit and to know this wonderful power. That's what it's all about. That's what church is for. That's what the altar is for. It's for the Holy Spirit doing His work among us. Isn't the Holy Spirit wonderful? Amen. Before I come to church on Sunday morning and before I preach, I always pray something like, Holy Spirit, life me and life Your people. Let me live and live in me today. Freely move among us. Have Your way. Do everything You want to do today. Help us to worship You in spirit and in truth. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus today. Oh, Spirit of truth, show us Jesus as He really is. Let not the enemy lie or put us in any kind of condemnation. Holy Spirit, grant us fresh anointing today. Anointing to hear Your word. Anointing to receive. Anointing to be worshipers in spirit and in truth. Wonderful Holy Spirit, we love You because You've come to spend all that time with us, to be with us until Jesus returns to this earth. And we want You to take over our lives. We say this to You today, Lord. We want You to take over our lives. And we want You to fill us to overflowing. We want to stay full. We want to be aware of Your moving in us. We want to allow You to move through us and to speak to us and to teach us and to flow the gifts through us and to show us how to be victorious over all the wiles of the enemy. Now, Lord, I ask, and I'm praying for You now for a fresh infilling of Your Spirit. Just lift your hands out, palms up. We come as a church, as a congregation today, and we say, Lord, it is by Your grace that we have received revelation to believe in You, Holy Spirit, and to believe and to know how very much we need You to do anything. And so, Lord, we ask You today for a fresh infilling of Your Holy Spirit. We pour out our hearts before Your word says You give the Holy Spirit to those that obey You. Lord, we choose to obey You and to give our lives to You even afresh and anew today, especially to give up every way that our flesh tries to take Your place and say, Holy Spirit, You have to do it all. You have to do everything. You're the only one who can do it. And we're believing You. We're believing You. Will You rain down on us today? Will you rain down and fill us afresh today? Let us know your presence. We want to have an encounter with you today, Holy Spirit. Move on us today, we pray. Move on us today. Rain down in this house, oh God.
Holy Spirit, rain down.
Thank you that you pour out your rain on us. Need your touch again.
Again. Holy Spirit, rain down. Rain down. Let your power flow. Let your voice be heard.
Come and change our hearts.
As we stand on your word.
Let's just ask him one more time today. Hands lifted high. I declare today that because your word is true, the Holy Spirit is in me. He's the Spirit of love. I'm going to know him as the loving Spirit that he is, and he's going to show forth his love out of me. Thank you, Lord, for your word that says, little children, love one another, for love is of God, and everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God, for God is love. Love, 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 the love of God through the power of the Holy Ghost. Flow through us. Let your love be shed abroad in our hearts. Let us be filled today. Let us stay full. Let us learn to commune with you, Holy Spirit, and change our hearts and change our lives for your own wonderful glory. How wonderful he is. I just want to say this one.